After months of anger from shareholders and Aboriginal groups, three Rio Tinto executives, including the CEO, Jean-Sébastien Jacques, resigned over the destruction of the Juukan Gorge rock shelter in the Pilbara in May. Rio Tinto's chairman, Simon Thompson, says it was shareholder pressure that ultimately led to the resignation of the CEO. Bryn O'Brien is the executive director of the Australasian Centre for Corporate Responsibility and says that shareholder activism can be powerful in holding companies accountable for their actions and lobbying for change.
Well, it depends on what kind of change you're seeking to achieve and how hard shareholders are willing to push and the size of the shareholders that are willing to push. So we just saw the CEO of Rio Tinto with two other senior executives exit again due to shareholder pressure. So the exit of really senior people, CEOs, senior executives, due to shareholder concerns, I mean, that is pretty powerful. I think which means investors realise that the challenges are systemic in the companies, that Rio Tinto has a problem with its relationships with First Nations communities and the lack of real authority that Aboriginal communities have in relation to protecting their cultural heritage under the West Australian law. So shareholders can be quite powerful. That's not to say they always are.
But more still needs to be done to ensure that companies follow through with their social and environmental responsibilities.
Shareholders need to now keep the pressure on to make sure that the replacements for those people are much better on First Nations cultural heritage issues. We really value Aboriginal cultural heritage and make it a priority within the company to preserve and protect. I think that the board will also come under scrutiny. So, I think shareholder power has so far gotten us to a certain point with Rio Tinto, but there is clearly far more that needs to be done.
Rio Tinto has apologised and said they will work to strengthen cultural heritage governance, control and approvals in iron ore and strengthen their relationship with Indigenous people. Nancia Guevara is a Mariam and Bindle jury writer who says many pathways exist for companies to close the gap between themselves and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
What they do is those local Aboriginal groups or peoples, they have native title rights in the area and they basically sign what they call an Indigenous land use agreement with the companies that want to do work or that impact on their country. That is their native title. So those relationships are built through a contractual agreement that they sign up to from both sides. The Rio Tinto situation was a bit different in that they'd signed up to an agreement in 2012 and then a year later they found out that that site had such significant archaeological significance in terms of the timing and of the archaeology being, you know, 46,000-year-old site. However, there's many other sites that are just as important to other Aboriginal peoples in their own community or their own native title lands. Not in that instance. And there's a number of groups within the Kimberley region. Those relationships need to be finely balanced, and it's a contractual agreement, and really it should be built on good, authentic trust and relationships, and it should be, you know, based on fair principles and equity and fair dealing, because they have a duty, I think, when they're working on a country that has been, you know, that those local traditional owners have been the custodians of for so long. They have a contractual agreement, I think, to do the right thing by them.
Bryn O'Brien has also said that good social and environmental behaviour will increase investment.
Well, you know, it's our view and the view of many industry super funds and other investors, and certainly those who are pressing for this kind of change, that good social and environmental performance, making the kinds of errors that Rio Tinto made, will actually protect shareholder value and therefore the interests of super fund members, for example, over long term. So good social and environmental performance and financial motives can go hand in hand over the long term, and that's what major shareholders are trying to achieve. There are other Australian companies that are in the spotlight. So we mm-hmm. also have a shareholder resolution to BHP. We filed one to Twiggy Forrest's Fortescue Metals Group, and they've rejected it on a very minor legal technicality. BHP, on the other hand, are really in ongoing negotiations with a powerful group of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations called the First Nations Heritage Protection Alliance. BHP are in negotiations with them about what really meaningful improvements might look like. Fortescue Metals, on the other hand, has totally rejected all of this out of hand. So companies, you know, in 2020, we think companies should really be listening to their shareholders, and some companies are doing that, and other companies are ignoring it. And you know, we think that in 10 or 20 years' time, which is the term over which major super funds invest money, the long term, that companies that take steps to protect their social license to operate will do better.
A parliamentary inquiry into the destruction of the sacred sites has begun and will give their report on the 30th of September.